In 1878, whenever William Booth's Salvation Army was really making an inroads, people were coming from all over the world to join this new movement. There was one man who came from America, and his name was Samuel Brengle. Coming to England, he had left behind his own church. He was a pastor, and he felt God stir up his heart to leave that work and to come and join Booth in the Salvation Army. But Booth welcomed him reluctantly. He knew, you see, that he was his own man, and he said to Brengle, he said, "For many years now, you have been your own boss. For many years, you have worked in the work yourself. Let's see how this goes." So Booth, he began to think about this, and just to see what type of spirit was in this man's heart, he gave this experienced pastor the task of shining the shoes for the other recruits. His job was to polish the shoes or the boots of those other recruits. Some people, you see, think that they should start at the top. They're not prepared to start at the bottom with everyone else. And Brengle, having come all the way from America, he was discouraged at this. And one day, as he was shining the shoes, he says to himself, "Have I crossed the sea? Have I left America to come to England that I might shine the boots of other trainees?" And he testifies to this. He says, it's as if at that moment he felt the Lord draw alongside and say to him, "You know, I washed feet. I want you to shine shoes. I washed feet. I want you to shine shoes." Tonight, if God was to put his hand on your life, is there anything that you would not do for him? If God was to come to this place tonight, and he has promised that he will, so his presence is here. Where the two or three are gathered, there he'll be, and it's in his name we gather tonight. But if he was in a special way to touch your life, if he was to ask you to do something or go somewhere, would you be happy to do it? Maybe you're here tonight in this service, and as yet you're not a Christian. In this service, you're not saved. You've never had that change. We sang a hymn there, 334. What a wonderful day in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change that was. But you can't testify of those things because Christ is not your Savior. Heaven is not your home. The first thing that he would want you to do is to forsake your sin and to come and put your faith and trust in him. We want to think about one of these characters here tonight. There are two characters in the story that we have read. One of those characters is a man by the name of Ananias, and the other is a man called Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul at this stage in his life has had an experience or an encounter with God. You will notice that in the earlier part of the chapter, verse 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." So he has just changed his ways, as it were. The direction of his life at this particular moment has just done an about turn. But maybe you're here tonight and you are walking the same way that before this encounter Saul of Tarsus was walking. He was walking in an ungodly way. The Bible says that he was causing havoc in the church. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. What a nice man he seems to be. But you see, the Bible tells us something very true. We cannot serve two masters. The Bible says that we will love one and despise the other. In other words, we cannot sit on the fence. And it seems to be today that churches are filled with people who sit on the fence. They're not prepared to say that they belong to Christ anymore. People today just are happy to say, "Well, I'm a Christian." But that's where they stop. They don't want to say, "Well, I belong to Christ." They don't want to say that 25 years ago or 14 years ago or even a few days ago, as was the case for Saul, it was then that I met the Savior. It was then that I forsook my sin. And it was then that I trusted Christ. Friend, tonight I wonder in which camp are you? Some people believe they can have a foot in both camps. Well, friend, tonight, that's not what my Bible tells me. Tonight I want us to consider Ananias. Ananias was a man that God could use. Ananias was a man who God had given special things to. And for the time that we have, I want us to consider this man and why God used him, how God used him, and even what God did through him. You see, Ananias was a man who was wonderfully used by the Lord. Ananias was special because it was his job to seek out and find Saul of Tarsus. It was his job to lead this man into the fullness of blessing. And if we're here tonight and we say that we're saved, if we're here tonight and we say that we're followers of Christ, that is the place where we want to be. We want to be in the fullness of blessing. We want to be seeking souls for Christ. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever job or task or calling God has given to you in your life, you can use that to the honour and glory of King Jesus. Ananias is one of those Bible characters who in the scriptures there's not much said about him. You will only read of Ananias twice in all of scripture. Once, as we have in Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 17, and the other reference is Acts 22. It would do no harm just to turn that up and you will have it for your own reference. Acts 22 and the verse 12. And the Bible tells us there, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. This is Saul now testifying as to the work that Ananias has done. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. What a testimony Ananias must have had. Did you notice what it said about him there in verse 12? He was a devout man according to the law. He had a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Ananias, what a man he seems to be. He displays the characteristics of that person that we believe within ourselves that God will use. And sometimes you and I are guilty of looking at other people and we see characteristics and qualities in them that we feel we don't have. And because we feel we don't have those things, well then we believe that God can't use us in that sphere of service for him. That's not entirely true. J. Hudson Taylor says, I used to ask God if he would come and help me. Then I asked if I could come and help him. Finally, I ended by asking God to do his work through me. You know, friend, if you're here tonight and you're saved, and if we are fully surrendered to God, wanting him to do a work through us, everywhere we go, everywhere we are, it will be second nature for us just simply to serve Christ. The first thing I want you to notice about Ananias, God used Ananias because of his association. Notice verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Ananias was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was devoted to his Savior. He had experienced the new birth. He knew who Christ was. He knew what he was coming to do. He knew all of those things. He was part of God's family. He belonged to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and the verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Once we are saved, we are brought into the family and fold of God. You and I are just as important as that other person that you believe has more qualities and gifts than you. We're all part of the one body. In Acts chapter 9 in the verse 4, the Lord tells Saul of Tarsus in the work that he's doing, he's actually persecuting the Lord himself. Notice what that verse says in verse 4, and he fell to the earth. God speaks to him now. And he hears a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul was persecuting the Christians. He was going against those servants of Jesus Christ. Those people who were aligning themselves with Jesus Christ and the cause of Christ. Well, Saul, he was coming against those people. He did not belong to them. My friend, there's a challenge for you, you see. Ananias was associated to the cause of Christ until his conversion. Saul, he was associated with those people who were against the cause of Christ. You will either love one, you see, and hate the other. You have one master. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. We know the type of person we are by our association. Do you associate yourself with Jesus Christ? Would you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? He was Ananias, and he was a member of that body. Ananias was not ashamed to declare that he belonged to Jesus Christ. Turn over to Mark chapter 8 and the verse 38. Mark 8 and the verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking here. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ tonight? How many times have you heard it when someone asks what church do you go to? And they simply say, well, actually, I'm a Free Presbyterian, but don't hold that against me. You might be ashamed of the church you go to. You might be ashamed of the family that you belong to. You might even sometimes be ashamed of the place you work. Sometimes you might just have nipped out of the shop and you might be ashamed of the clothes that you wear. If you've ever seen me in the shop, you'll know that that doesn't bother me really. But some people do. But the question for you tonight is, are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me. Friend, Ananias belonged to Christ. He was in the cause of Christ and he was not ashamed to associate himself with that cause. Friend, tonight Ananias was used because of his association. He was a disciple. Underline that word in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple. Now we have noted already in the later chapter of Acts the testimony that this man had. Can that be said of us tonight? How important our testimony is as the world looks on. He was associated to the cause of Christ. That's the first and most important thing in soul winning. How can someone seek to win others to Christ to the cause of which they themselves have not subscribed? There are people today who would call themselves men of the cloth, or in some cases women of the cloth, and they themselves know nothing of God's saving grace. How? Tell me how today can they invite or encourage you to trust Christ, to come to a cause of which they know absolutely nothing about? God used Ananias because of his association. Before we move on, I want you just to think for a moment of your association. Who do you serve? What company do you keep? What activities do you get up to through the week? Are you the type of person that God could use? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you know full well that the work of grace has never been wrought in your heart, but yet you pride yourself in being associated with this church. And in fact, it's rather the opposite for you. You're not one bit embarrassed. What church do you attend? Well, I'm a Free Presbyterian, and you're proud to say it. And you're happy to tell about the Bible you have and the Bible you look at and all of the things that you'll do. But you're just associated. The question is, do you belong to him? Ananias was associated, but he belonged. Notice with me also that God used him because he was average. Now the phrase in verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. It's those words that struck me, a certain disciple. Ananias was not an apostle. He was not an outstanding man. It's more than likely that he himself was not even a leader. He was just a certain disciple named Ananias, just somebody ordinary. He's one of the characters in Scripture that's only mentioned twice. So here we are and we have a man who is just an ordinary man. And sometimes we say to ourselves, well, why would God want to use me? Sure, I'm just ordinary. I'm just average. There's nothing special about me that God would really want. How many times have you told yourself that? Well, that's not true. God does want you, and you'll be pleased to know that it's average people that he wants. You see, when God reached Naaman, he did it through a little maid. Just an average little maid. We're not even told her name in 2 Kings 5. Whenever he fed the 5,000, the Bible says that he used a little boy. Imagine, a little boy packed off with his lunch for the day. And what a wonderful miracle Christ was able to do through that little lad who fully surrendered his lunch. Is any wee fellas or wee girls here and you fully surrender the lunch of your life to Christ? What wonderful things he can do and will do through you and for you in your life. Maybe you're a little older than the little lad. If you still surrender the lunch of your life, God will use you. He was just an average man. I love those words in John 6 in the verse 9. Whenever it was spoken, there is a lad here. The little boy's name was unknown. But in the hands of Christ, what a miracle he did with that little lunch. And here we are in Acts chapter 9, and Ananias is another Bible character that God has a special plan for. God had a special task for Ananias. Now, this was an above average job. You'll know that as we look at the story. Saul of Tarsus was a more than average client. And God draws near and he wants Ananias to go and meet him. Of course, this is an above average job. So why would God choose an average man? If you think of the tasks there are in this church, if you think of the opportunities that God gives you every day in your workplace, in your neighborhood, amongst your friends and family. And so often we become overwhelmed with the job and we say to ourselves, that job is above average. That job is above me. I'm just average. You see, the wonder of it is God uses average people to do above average things because the glory all goes to him. Praise his name. Ananias was only average. He was ordinary. But God delights tonight to use average, ordinary people. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. And you're saying to me, Mark, that's fine. God will use average people. God will use average people, but you know, I'm not saved because my life is not average. You know nothing about my life. If you knew the problems, the difficulties, the places I have been, the strife that I have had, all of those trials and troubles, how could God use me? You know, friend, tonight, I don't know about your life and all of those things, but you know the wonder of it all? Christ knows all of those things. You remember the woman with the issue of blood when she came and she touched the hem of his garment? Remember that story? Whenever she just thought that she could discreetly come up behind Christ in the crowd in Mark chapter 5 and just touch the hem of his garment? Didn't the Lord turn round and know all about the woman? The Bible says that she just told him all the truth because he knew it anyway. You know, friend, tonight you might be more than the average sinner in the meeting tonight, but praise God, the salvation that you're offered is way above average. Christ can save your soul. God used Ananias because he was average, but notice also, he used him because he was agreeable. We have read already the verses in Acts 22 and the verse 12. The Bible tells us there about the type of man that Ananias was. Acts 22, the verse 12, he was a devout man according to the law. He did those things that was right, those things that were proper and just. But not only that, not only did he just follow the way and live the life he ought to live, but notice this little part. He had a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. And there's the challenge. That's his testimony, you see. That is the person that he was. I wonder what our neighbors and friends would say about us. I wonder what the people of the church would say about us. I better still, I wonder what our family would say about us. For Ananias, all that was there had a good word on him. In Acts 22, verse 12, a devout man who had a good report of all the Jews. In simple terms tonight, friend, the life of Ananias was above reproach. His conduct was blameless. He was sincere in his testimony. He followed through on his profession of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cause of Christ and all of those things. He showed the grace of God by his actions and by his words. You see, God will only use a person whose life is consistent and brings glory to his name. Luke chapter 2 and the verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. What a testimony to have. A man who was just towards men and devout towards God. Commentators will always say, no matter who you read on this, they will say the words just and devout must always go together. Just and devout. The Holy Ghost was upon him. In verse 25 it says about Simeon. Not only a spirit of holiness, not only a spirit of Christ-likeness, not only a spirit of prophecy were these men filled with, but these men were able to speak of things that were above themselves. These were men who were in touch with God. These were men who lived lives that were pleasing and glorified his name. Man whose life was absorbed by those things which were just and devout. What a promise he was given in verse 26 that he would see the Messiah. God will always bless and honor those that honor him. You know, sometimes the work of God is a hard station. Sometimes the work of God is a hard calling. Sometimes to speak that word for him, you have to dig deep to get the courage. You have to dig deep to get the very words to say. But you know the scripture says, them that honor me, I will honor. Ananias was used by God because he was agreeable. He was consistent. Are you agreeable? Notice also God used him because he was available. Some Christians are not available. I don't send many emails, but those that do tell me that when you send emails, you can set up an automatic answer. Sorry, I'm out of the office right now. I'll answer this email as soon as I get back in on Monday morning, and come Friday you still haven't had a reply. Some Christians do that in the Christian life. They send a little, I'm not available just for that task. But God used Ananias because he was available. After World War II, a parade took place in Piccadilly Circus. Present were the sailors and the soldiers who, well, they kept all of the sea lanes open. They fought on the land at places like Dunkirk. The pilots, they fought the Luftwaffe in the skies. And all of those important people, there were the generals there and all of the commanding officers with the epaulettes and all of the stripes and pips on their uniform. But then somewhere in the crowd, there were men who were wearing sweat-stained uniforms. They had little peaked caps and their uniforms was grubby and dirty, and the people were shouting at them, what part did you play in the war? They answered back, they simply said, we were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal. That was an essential ingredient in the war. You needed the coal. You see, sometimes in God's work there are those people who must put their faces to the coal. Maybe you're here tonight and, well, that just isn't the job for you. Are you the man or woman that God can use? Are you the man or woman who is available for his service? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. And you're not available to Christ. You love your sin too much. You love the things of this old world. In Acts chapter 9 and the verse 10, whenever the Lord speaks to him, what does he reply? He said, I am here, Lord. And maybe tonight the Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is calling you unto Himself in salvation. And you're saying, Lord, I'm not available yet. There's too much I want to do. Too many places I want to go. There's a life that I want to live. I'm not available for service. Lord, I'm not available for salvation. Ananias was used because he was available. Maybe the Lord is placing His hand on your life and you're not available. We haven't time to look at it tonight, but just in passing, you will notice from verse 10 through to the end of verse 14, you will see a conversation take place between God and Ananias. He draws near and the Lord speaks to Ananias in verse 11. Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. He tells him where to go. He tells him exactly what he wants him to do. And in that place you will find the man and you will put your hands on him. Now he knows all about that man. Look at verse 13. Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Here's the two characters in this story. On one hand, you have Ananias, who has a great testimony with everyone. Here was a man, Ananias, who was just and devout. What a man he must have been. We would all want to meet a man like him. But look at verse 13. Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. No, nobody would really want to meet him. A man with that testimony or a man with that type of lifestyle, we wouldn't really want to meet him. He just wouldn't suit or fit in our church. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're saying to yourself, you know, that's something similar to the life that I have lived. I have done similar things. I'm the sort of person that wouldn't fit in. I'm the sort of person that God would not want to see you. The Bible tells us, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Praise God tonight, the offer of salvation, that Neil Pierce hand of invitation is offered to you tonight. In verse 15, you will see that Ananias was commanded to go, and in verse 17, he went. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, I want you to underline verse 15. Because what a tremendous verse of Scripture this really is. During the meeting and you're not saved, here was the Lord's reply to Ananias. Why? He must go. You must go to the house and find this man. Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You must go, Ananias. Because Saul is special. Saul has changed. There's been a change in his life. You'll see it there in verse 3, verse 4, verse 6. What wilt thou have me to do? Ananias, I need you to go. This man's special, you see. He's a chosen vessel unto me. What's he going to do? He's going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. He's going to preach about the very faith which once he sought to destroy. You know the thing about it tonight? You're maybe here and you're not saved. And you could be a chosen vessel. Tonight, the Lord wants to save you. He has a special plan for you tonight. Now, you may not be a preacher, but you could bear His name. You could be, and you will have a tremendous testimony. You could be a real trophy of grace. Ananias was used because he was available, but God also used him because of his affection. In verse 17, look what we read. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. We have said already in this message that Saul wasn't the type of character that you would be really rubbing your hands at wanting to meet. Even Ananias displayed almost a hesitation in verse 13. Lord, I have heard much about this man. But the Lord reassures him in verse 15, go thy way. Did you notice there in verse 17 that once Ananias went into the house, he didn't question him. He didn't doubt it. He didn't quiz him up and down and ask him all about it. Immediately he puts his hands on him and says, Brother Saul. Immediately he identifies him as belonging to the same family as himself. Ananias has had a knowledge that a change has taken place in this man's life. Maybe, friend, tonight you have tried Christianity. Maybe there hasn't really been a change. You see, we have used the word association tonight. And maybe there was a time in your life, maybe on a gospel mission, or maybe at a Sunday evening service, and you waited behind and you spoke with the pastor, and as far as you were concerned, you were saved. But your associations, well, they never changed. And your life, well, it was below average. And now it's even worse. Things have gone from bad to worse. Friend, there are those in this fellowship, and we may as well call them Ananias, because the attitude that Ananias displays in verse 17, that very attitude tonight was displayed in the prayer time just before this service. And just as Ananias went into that house and as he put his hands on him and says, "Brother Saul, you feel the love that was there, the compassion, the spirit of grace and empathy that he had for him that day? You've been prayed for tonight already in that prayer room. That you might find peace. That you might find the Savior. That you might have a knowledge of sins forgiven. Moms and dads have prayed for their children. Grannies and grandas have prayed for their grandchildren. Elders have prayed for the people in the church. Children's workers have prayed for those in the Sunday school." Now, my friend, tonight, I wonder, do we show the affection to those who are not saved that we ought to show? When last did we stand in the home of someone and in a simple, loving way, as Ananias did, put our arm around them and show them the love of Christ? Tell me this, when last did we stand in our neighbor's house and show them the love of Christ? Entered into the house, Brother Saul. Friend, I wonder tonight, is this the night of your salvation? I wonder tonight, is this the night whenever you'll be done with those old, sinful, worldly associations, that as far as your testimony goes, people know by your association, by the way you live your life, the type of person that you really are. Tonight will be the night when you'll be done with sin and you'll come and put your faith and trust in Christ and give your brothers and sisters in Christ the opportunity to even do what Saul received from Ananias in that house that day. We'll be brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice also God used him because he was acquainted. I know time is gone. But the man or woman that God will use must be well informed. The man or woman that God will save, they must be well informed. Ananias, well, he knew all about Saul. We have noticed that in verse 13. In Acts chapter 8 and the verse 3, it tells us about the havoc that Saul was causing within the church at that time. What a man he must have been. But Ananias, he knew all about it. That's the challenge for the church today, for the elders, the deacons, the pastors, the Christian workers. We need to know the problems that are going on in the lives of those around us if we are to win them for Christ. Ananias knew what was happening in Saul's life. He knew exactly the type of man that he was. And that's why I believe he found it easy to put his arm around that man, because he had the love and compassion that he ought to have as a follower of Christ. For the unbeliever, I want you to think about that little word, havoc. It's named in Acts 8 and verse 3. Saul was causing havoc in the church. But maybe it's the case tonight where the devil is causing havoc in your life. Maybe as you look at your home and your family and all of those things around you, that's all you can use to describe it as, is the havoc of sin. Praise God tonight, Christ wants to draw near. He wants to cleanse you, save you. He wants to give you purpose and meaning in life. It has been said and said well, people don't care how much you know, but they know how much you care. Friend, as we close this service tonight, God used Ananias because he was accomplished. You see, Ananias was a man who was filled. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Ananias was a spiritual man. He was just an ordinary man, but yet doing this great work. Maybe you're here tonight and you would describe yourself as just being ordinary. Well, that's good. Maybe you're just average. That's good. Maybe here tonight you're just an average Christian. Well, God wants to use you tonight. That's good. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just an average sinner. There's lots of havoc in your life. That's exactly the type of person that Jesus Christ died for on the cross. I want to finish with a little poem. It's called Five Loaves and Two Fish. And this can be applied to those who received or those who aren't. God uses what you have to fill a need you never could have filled. God uses where you are to take you where you never could have gone. God uses what you do to accomplish what you never could have done. God uses who you are to let you become who you never could have been. Friend, tonight, if you're saved, it's only when we are fully surrendered that God, He will make us what we never could be ourselves. Friend, tonight, if you're in your sin in this meeting, and you come in repentance and seek Him for forgiveness and trust the work that He did on the cross at Calvary, praise His name. He will make you something that you never ever could become yourself. And that's a son or a daughter born into the family of God, cleansed, washed, redeemed. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven will be your eternal home. And you will be able to live for Him. And then give testimony to the change and the work and the grace that He has wrought in your life. I trust that God will take this message tonight. He'll use it. He'll write it upon our heart. And that we will be in the place where we ought to be. If you're here tonight and you're not saved and you would like to speak with someone, there are those here tonight that may be known to you. There's deacons. There's Christian workers here. Maybe someone that has come with you and you know they're saved. We are in no rush away. Get it sorted tonight. Call upon Christ. Let's pray.